Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Ryan Reynolds. As owner of Mint Mobile, I couldn't wait to make my first commercial for Odyssey listeners. I thought, I'll tell them to go to mintmobile.com/odyssey to get premium wireless for just $15 a month. Then I thought, they'll never believe the owner bragging, so I'll bring on a real Mint customer who knows it's premium wireless for just $15 a month. Then I thought, how will they know it's not just me acting as a customer? Then I thought, what if they don't think I'm a good enough actor to play a customer? Then I cried and went to bed at the end.
New activation and upfront payment for 3-month plan required. Taxes and fees extra. Additional restrictions apply. See mintmobile.com for full terms.
From outdoor shades for relaxing in the yard to blackout shades that help your newborn and your family get a good night's sleep, Blinds.com is grateful to be part of your home. To say thanks, we're inviting you to our friends and family sale with up to 45% off site-wide, plus doorbusters. Ordering custom window treatments online doesn't have to mean sacrificing style or service. Shop the latest styles of curtains, shades, shutters, and more. Need help making a selection? Blinds.com's design experts are always available for free consultations. Need help with measuring or installing? We've got you covered there too. Plus, there's no hidden fees or misleading quotes, and no showrooms or retail markups. See for yourself why Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Shop our Blinds.com friends and family sale now through October 12th for up to 45% off everything, plus doorbusters. Save up to 45% site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Bear down, baby.
Yes, sir.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
It's real simple. You know, if you take a person's legs away, they can't run.
With your hosts, David Hahn.
I want to remind people, there is no award for coming to the conclusion fastest on a quarterback in your football city. Nobody remembers, and frankly, nobody cares.
And Dan Weider.
Particularly in this town, we start to get the extremes trying to outshout each other, right? Those who think that he's a bust are trying to outshout those who think that he's going to be an absolute 7-time All-Pro.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Welcome in to Take the North, the podcast covering all things Chicago Bears, episode 17 and a half after the Bears' 29-22 loss to the Vikings at US Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. That's where we find Dan Weiderer. I am David Haw from 670 The Score. Dan, of course, covers the Bears for the Chicago Tribune straight from the postgame locker room. Dan, how would you describe, number one, the reaction, and secondly, what you saw in four quarters? The first half, forgettable for the Bears. The second half, something to build on.
Well, as far as the reaction, I feel like there was sort of this universal dismay inside the Bears locker room after the game. I think they understand that they can wrap their arms around the fight and the resilience they showed to come back from 18 points down and take a lead in the fourth quarter, but ultimately it didn't result in a win. And I think there's a lot of guys, particularly veteran guys like Eddie Jackson and Roquan Smith, who are leaders of this team, who are tired of trying to cling to that kind of stuff, right? And just very frustrated that they let this game get out of their reach the way they did in the first quarter, really, and in the first half as a whole. And then in the end, you're not able to come up with either the stop defensively or the drive at the end to win a football game. And so you once again show the rest of the NFL world that you're a team that is low on elite talent, low on quality depth, and doesn't have enough difference makers to pull out games like this.
I want to get into some of the details about our just reactions to Justin Fields, because that was the most obvious step forward that he has taken certainly this year, and maybe as an NFL player. But I want to focus more on Initially, the difference in I think just competence levels in the first and second half. Offensively, the Bears really were not with it in the first half. A lot of things from the first play, delay a game on the first snap, you can't have that. Then they had a shotgun snap. It hits Justin Fields when he's trying to change the play. You can't have that. And defensively, Dan, we saw Kirk Cousins go from completing his first 17 passes against a defense that was like a sieve to in the second half, they're much different approach and much different results. And I just think I don't know if it had much more to do with pride or scheme, but I do think at halftime something happened.
Well, so let's talk about some of the errors that you mentioned there. First of all, I'm going to read you some numbers from the first half of this football game that will make your head spin. The Vikings outgained the Bears 307-95 in the first half. 307 yards of offense in the first half, David. That's unbelievable. As you mentioned, Cousins hitting those first 17 passes and having 22 completions in the first half. He threw for 217 in the first half, and so you saw a pass defense that wasn't ready to play, right? They came in knowing that Justin Jefferson was the one guy that they had to contain and slow down, and they didn't do it. Justin Jefferson was on the receiving end of 8 of those first 17 completions that Kirk Cousins had, and I think there was some frustration in the locker room afterward that they weren't able to execute a game plan to limit him. Now listen, Jalen Johnson was inactive, right? And he would have made a difference in a game like today, right? And so you say he got to get him back on the field as soon as possible. Cousins after the game, David, notably said, look, it's not like I was ripping a bunch of throws into tight windows. He says you basically trust your reads and you go through your reads, and when your number one read is wide open on most of those plays, it really doesn't take much to complete your first 17 passes. So that was a bit of an indictment from the Vikings quarterback of the Bears defense, and that's just kind of the way this game started. And then obviously the Bears rallied enough to put themselves in a game, and then really the game winning drive that the Vikings had, 17 plays, David, converted 5 third downs, right? And that you got to get off the field at some point, or at least hold them to a field goal.
Yeah, and the fifth one was the touchdown. And I think when you see a veteran quarterback kind of steal himself after throwing an interception, Kendall Vildor made a really nice play. Kirk Cousins never saw him, and we said all week Kirk Cousins will throw you the football, and he did just that. But he responded to that like it never happened. In 17 plays, they go down the field when the Bears needed a stop. They couldn't make one, and that's what ultimately happened. And that had as much to do with it as anything. Certainly, the Emir Smith Marset fumble that was ripped out of his hands by Dantzler, that was a play you're just not going to get past, Dan. I mean, it's obvious that it's. I think it's a little different than even the Velus Jones one last week. You had a young receiver kind of last week was different, but this week it just feel like, boy, that was an opportunity. It feels like it was literally ripped out of your arms.
It really was, and it's a breakdown in fundamentals, right? And you hear after the game from Matt Eberflus that, listen, we coach our players that when they're at the numbers or outside the numbers, to get out of bounds in that situation, live to see another down. If you're inside the numbers, take it upfield. Smith Marset said after the game that he kind of stiff-armed Dantzler to get free, and then he lost track of him. And then Dantzler came back into the play and did the whole hits principle thing on the Bears, right? Ripped the ball right out of their hands and won the game with that. Who knows what the Bears would have done with the rest of that drive, but certainly it would have been fun to see what they could have done with that drive. And I think you were kind of curious to know that had they put the ball in the end zone, would Matt Eberflus have gone for 2 points there? He would not tell us post-game, David, but my lean is that he probably would have given the way this game went.
I was wondering, I texted you and I wanted to know because you were in the room and I think I'm sitting there at home like everybody else wondering, okay, this is a day where the Bears were aggressive, right? The onside kick, going for it.
Yeah.
When they didn't really need to go for two, they went for two. Analytics people may be able to defend that, but traditionalists will say, well, you don't go for two until you need to go for two. And then in the end, I did think the same thing you did, Dan. I feel like we'll never know, but had the Bears scored on that final drive, I think Matt Eberflus might have tried to steal a victory and escape with a 2-point conversion, a celebration, and one of the more rousing comebacks I think we would have had in week 5. That didn't happen, but I do think his response to that question tells me what the answer might have been.
I'm Maggie Steffens, 3-time Olympic gold medalist and current record holder for most goals in the Olympic Games. Training for the Olympics, it can get so stressful. It's nice to be able to just enjoy the water. It's my happy place. When that happy place is ruined by trash, it makes me sad. If we don't dispose of our litter properly, it affects our precious waterways. Don't drop trash and make sure plastics get in the right recycling bin. Please do the right thing to help keep our highways and waterways clean. Visit cleanwaterca.com.
Brought to you by the Caltrans Stormwater Program.
Yeah, no question. And you mentioned the surprise onside kick there after they got that touchdown to start the second half, which was a big series there, right? Like they scored before the end of the first half by getting a break from the Vikings, who shanked the punt and got a penalty and gave them good field position. And they immediately capitalized with the highlight reel play of the day, right? The 39-yard pass from Fields to Darnell Mooney, the one-handed catch, which was beautiful. And I feel like that play gave the Bears some life, right? They obviously scored the David Montgomery touchdown after that. Now you feel like, okay, as bad as this half's been, we're hanging around and we're getting the ball coming out of half and we can go down and score and we can really make this a game. And they did those things. And so you credit them for having that resilience and that fight to be able to get themselves back in a game that, to me, there was a point there where it looked like the Vikings could name their score, right? And Justin Jefferson could ask his fantasy owners how many yards and points they wanted today, and he was just going to oblige them in that regard.
So tell me this, and I don't want to say I'm confused, but I'm a little conflicted. Okay. I feel like I'm getting some mixed messages from one week to the next. And we're always trying to, you know, fit players and coaches into a box that's nice and tidy. Last week, Matt Eberflus, 4th-and-2, conservative move, punts and pins, and talks about defending it as a great decision. This week, that conservative traditional coach wasn't on the sidelines. That's not a guy who goes for two when he didn't have to, tries the onside kick when basically if it's successful, it's brilliant. If it doesn't, it's like, what's he doing? And then in the end, we're both agreeing that he probably would have gone for two, which would have been maybe against the grain or at least traditional coaching 101.
Yeah.
What is Matt Eberflus as a head coach? Do we know yet? Is this kind of like – In the process of developing a quarterback, they're also developing this head coach?
I think so, to some extent. I think we need a larger sample size of game situations that give us a bigger picture of what he does in certain moments. Now, he says, like, some of this is analytics, some of it is gut feel. Sort of defended everything today as being, you know, analytics-based and helping them along with their decisions. And so we'll see, right? Like you take the long view with games like this and you say that for the young players on this team, these are good experiences to go through the comeback and then the failed comeback and the loss the way it is. It's all good seasoning for a team that has so many young pieces. But listen, you brought some of these up already. I'm going to give you a couple more. The first play of the game, right? You don't have the right personnel on the field and you take a delay a game. The first play of the game, right? Like you go through that the entire week. You know who's supposed to be on the field, and it was fullback Kari Blasingame who kind of screwed that up, and you say, boy, that's unforgivable. The field snap with Sam Mustipher. Same thing happened in Green Bay in week 2, right? And this is a young quarterback on the road, not realizing that his center is looking between his legs for a silent count signal, which is his leg lifting, right? So when you go up toward the line of scrimmage, your leg lifts and you make the abrupt movement. Again, this same error happened 3 weeks ago in Green Bay. And so you cannot let those types of things continue to be recurring mistakes. There's a drop by Dante Pettis. Well, guess what? Dante Pettis was a guy signed on May 12th, right? In the fifth wave of free agency. Amir Smith-Marset claimed off waivers. Not only does he fumble the ball to end the game, but he's got the penalty, I believe it was him, with the block in the back that negated Justin's 52-yard touchdown run in the second half, right? And so this is a byproduct of having a roster that is low on difference-making players, right? Good teams in this league have standouts who rescue you rather than sink you. And in this case, some of the Bears, lower-tier players sunk them, or inexperienced in the case of Fields.
As I just wrote on 670thescore.com. You can find my column there. You can find Dan's at chicagotribune.com. But Dan, as I just wrote, you get what you pay for. And according to SpotRack, the Bears have $4.6 million in base salary devoted to their wide receiving core. That's the lowest amount in the league. $4.6 million. Adam Thielen on the other side makes about four himself. So when you have 2 weeks in a row where wide receivers, last week, Velus Jones let you down. This week, it was Smith-Marset. We saw Dante Pettis, who has not had a good start to this season outside of the San Francisco accident, because that's what it looks like now. You get what you pay for, and the Bears haven't invested heavily in wide receivers, and that leads us into our next reaction, because this is a reaction pod. We'll get into the weeds later this week. Justin Fields and his development. First half, ran in place, maybe even a step backward, but he seemed to exhale after the big Mooney completion. Second half, Dan, I think it was similar to the second half last year against the Steelers, something to build on.
Well, a couple things here. The Vikings won the coin flip and took the ball, right? That's kind of an unorthodox move in today's NFL, and it was obviously done with intent, right? Like, we're going to take the football, and we're going to go score, right? Like, we're going to just put you in a hole and make you chase us from the start of the game. And the Bears came back on their first drive, and they put together a drive. And Fields actually had Darnell Mooney on a shot into the end zone in that drive, and it seemed like the wires were crossed. Justin kind of threw it outside. Darnell was kind of going inside, and Justin talked a little bit about that after the game, about trying to read the leverage of the corner and get on the same page with Mooney, and it just didn't connect. And these are the ones that you think have to really agitate a quarterback when he goes to bed at night, trying to think, how do we get that play to click? Because if we do score there, it just steadies everything out, right?
He was open.
Yeah. Right. And so you got to figure out ways to make those plays, because if you don't, now all of a sudden, you know, you're already thin margin for error gets thinner. I do think that Justin showed some things in the second half. I think the protection showed some things as well. It seemed like there were some moments there for him to really steady himself in the pocket, to be able to climb a little bit in the pocket, to look for throws, to make some throws and get a rhythm going. You know, to see Cole Kmet get unlocked a little bit today, you're like, okay, this is what it looks like when a passing offense finally gathers even just a little bit of momentum. Again, we're celebrating a 15 completion, 204 right. yard day, but it looked better, right? It just looked better, and it's something they can build on as they go forward in a short week here. I think Justin feels better leaving here than he's felt the last 4 weeks or so, and that's as good as anything right now when you're trying to get that psychological boost.
Passer rating of 118.8. That's something that you don't want to take lightly. You also saw, I think, the confidence grow when he had some shorter completions or just some timing patterns that were on time, in time. And that is important too, because the first drive of the second half, it looked like a different quarterback. And you look like there was some reason for optimism there. And the things this week that are said about Justin Fields, you can't attack as being exaggerations. There finally was some real tangible, valid evidence. And nobody needs to exaggerate anything. The other thing I think is that, again, it's like a lot of young quarterbacks who are mobile and athletic, and I don't want to make the comparisons to the great ones like Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray and even Jalen Hurts to a lesser extent. But when they start to make plays with their legs, it kind of gets them going. And I think that when Justin Fields made a couple first downs, and then all of a sudden, even though Smith-Marset committed a penalty, bad day for that young man.
Yeah, yeah. But when
that 52-yarder where he cuts back and everybody expects him maybe to go out of bounds, that's special. And when you do things that underscore and just announce that you are special, I think it has a huge effect on what you do comes after that. And that's confidence building, reaffirming stuff.
Yeah, no question. How about this? The first and only touchdown pass that Justin's had over the last month traveled 1.6 inches in the air, right? Yeah, a little speed sweep touch pass to Velus Jones coming around the edge. But we've talked about that, right? You got to manufacture some feel good in the stat sheet for Justin. He gets a touchdown pass on that. And then all of a sudden, you're in a game, right? It's 21-16 at that point, and you feel like, okay, we've got something going here, right? And now the quarterback feels like he can settle in a little bit more than he's been. And it's all a positive. That's Velus Jones's first offensive touch in the NFL. He takes it to the house. So good for him on that one.
Didn't he call that? Didn't he predict that as well Friday in the locker room at Hallis?
I think he said something to that extent. Justin said after the game today that they talked all week, and then when that play call came in, he said, go crib it. You know, just put this thing in the end zone here. And Velus did that and obviously used a good block from David Montgomery out in front of him, made a good read and got across there. And so those are the types of things you drafted Velus Jones to do. You just need more players, right? As we go through this with Pettis and Smith-Marset and no household names in this receiving core, you say you just need more players.
And more plays. They ran 47 today because the Vikings dominated the line of scrimmage, especially in the first half. The defense has got to do a better job of getting off the field.
And 22 minutes of possession for the Vikings in the first half. No, in the first half, the Vikings had it for 22-32.
I don't think the Bears had it much more than that for the entire game, it seemed like. It seemed like the Vikings had the ball the entire game. All right, so before we get to our game balls, I wanted to ask you this, and we'll get into this deeper. It'll be easier to see when we rewatch the game. David Montgomery, he played. I hit the back of his jersey, he had his name misspelled, but he played, and they fixed that. But his pass protection, did that make a difference in the fact that it didn't seem like they were able to get to Justin Fields as easily as some teams have gotten to him?
They picked up some blitzes. Listen, like Aaron Rodgers got flummoxed by the Giants blitzing, you know, this afternoon as well. And so you see what Wink Martindale is doing with that Giants defense to take apart even some of the greats of the game and make them uncomfortable. The Bears just handled things a little bit better today, and they were handling probably something that was a lower degree of difficulty than they faced in New Jersey. And so good sign there. And an even better sign is that David Montgomery took his first touch for a 30-yard screen pass gain, right? And you say, okay, not much to worry about with that ankle. Certainly looks okay there. Didn't run the ball as well as you'd want on a day like today against a defense that had been vulnerable to the run at times, but a decent first game back for Montgomery, 82 yards from scrimmage, scores the touchdown to get the Bears unlocked there. And so good to have him back in the fold and hopefully no setbacks here. Obviously I think some of the questions we had with Dave Montgomery and Jalen Johnson is with the Bears having this quick turnaround to Thursday night against the Commanders, how do you manage those two things? I would think that you'd probably push for Jalen Johnson to play on Thursday, and then you'll have a 10 or 11 day layoff before they play the Patriots. And so you can get him some extended rest after that. But those two things were kind of, you know, you're trying to figure out before the game who's going to play and who's not. And that's all factoring in as the Bears go into this short week.
Whether you're home or away, stay connected to your team with T-Mobile, the network that covers 99% of people in America. They've been investing billions to light up their best network ever. From your backyard to a sold-out stadium, get T-Mobile's best coverage yet. Plus, with T-Mobile, you get a price lock guarantee, so they won't raise the price of your rate plan. There's never been a better time to switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Coverage not available in some areas. Price lock for current on-network rate plan. Talk, text, and data on qualifying line for new accounts. See exclusions and details at tmobile.com.
Okay, let's give away our game balls. You can go first. Studs is going to sit this one out. He's going to be back on Tuesday morning with his thoughts on this game. We do want to know what he has to say about this mini step forward for Justin Fields. But who gets your game ball?
I've got an honorable mention for Kyler Gordon, who blocked that field goal attempt and then made a couple nice plays and nice tackles in the open field that were good moments for him. But my game ball is going to Kendall Vildor, who did a really nice job of reading Kirk Cousins on the bootleg and sneaking back across into the passing lane and making a really key interception, right? That gave the Bears possession and allowed them to go down for the go-ahead score. And in that moment, well, in a game where the Bears badly needed a takeaway, Kendall Vildor provided it and gave them the chance to take the lead in a game that I would have never thought they had a chance to take the lead when it was 21-3 and the Vikings were going as such. And so that's a good moment for Kendall to build on. I think he was excited to offer that contribution. And so he gets one of our Take the North game balls this evening.
I'll go with Justin Fields. I'll go with Justin Fields, and I'll separate it from the numbers. The numbers were encouraging. And I do want to say this with a big asterisk. That should be asterisks all are in all caps, aren't they? But in Chicago, we tend to exaggerate everything. And I don't want this to come out of this week and the days that we have leading up to the Washington game on Thursday. I'm actually glad it's a short week, because what he accomplished, the step that he took, mini or otherwise, it doesn't get a chance to be kind of exaggerated with the hyperbole, with the apologists that will come out and say, you know, now he's arrived. Well, you know what? He took a step. But he's far from having arrived, but he did do some nice things. He recovered from adversity in the first half where he wasn't very good. He was a better passer in the pocket, which was encouraging to Kmet and Mooney on the first drive of the second half. He did some things with his legs and his feet that you just can't teach or coach or count on, but he's special when it comes to running the ball. There's no doubt about it, and he knows it. He knows it. He sees a defensive end. He knows can't get the angle on him. He's going to get the first down. I like that confidence he plays with. But here's the big thing. Here's a big thing I think that he's the kind of guy you want to play with. And I sometimes go back and forth, and we're getting to know who he is. After Smith-Marset made the mistake that, you know, might get some guys cut, and it might get him cut, he should have gone out of bounds. He fumbled. He made the play, the bonehead play of the game. He's the biggest scapegoat at the top of the list. He also had the big penalty. After that play, they mentioned it on the radio broadcast. You could see it on the television. I don't know what you saw from the press box, Dan. Justin Fields went out of his way to go over and to talk to Smith-Marset to basically let him know, hey, everybody has been there. Hey, I've gone through this as well. Pick your head up. And I think that kind of support, little thing, sure, but that's the way that, you know, you forge – these kind of relationships through adversity, and you see these kind of evidence and examples of leadership and maturity. And I think that was a big moment for Justin Fields to show that kind of leadership at a time when everyone, you know, was feeling out about things.
I was going to say it's a leadership trait, and we know Justin has that in him. We know he has mental toughness in him as well. And so those things are you know, those boxes are checked. And now it's about becoming a consistent passer in this league to a level that you can win games. And I think we all have to remember that this season all along was going to be about the 17 game long haul, right? And how much growth could be made from, you know, September 11th till January 8th or whenever that final game is. And so, look, the Bears are who we thought they were, to quote Denny Green, right? They're a 2-3 football team that is inferior most weeks to the opponent that they're playing, and they're going to lose games like this because they just don't have enough talent or depth on the roster. But you're trying to find things to grow with, right? And players that can be part of your future. Justin's obviously the biggest one on that list. And so they got to generate some momentum, right? You got a quick turnaround. Now it's going to challenge your preparation here to go Sunday to Thursday. And Matt Eberflus was very clear after the game that the correction process from this game probably isn't going to be able to be done until after the Commanders game, right? Because they got such a short week and they're trying to turn themselves around really quick. And so that's on the quarterback too, to get himself turned around really quickly as well.
He's Dan Weider, at Dan Weider on Twitter. You can find his work on ChicagoTribune.com, including his column after the Bears' 29-22 loss to the Vikings. I'm David Haugh, at David Haugh on Twitter. I'll be on 670thescore.com. My column is already posted. You can check that out. Also on the morning show, 5:30 to 10 on the Mullen Haugh Show at 670 The Score on your free Odyssey app. That's where you can download this podcast. That's where you can subscribe. That's where you can listen to what we have to say. We'll be back on Tuesday previewing the Thursday night game with the Commanders against Ron Rivera, a winnable game for the Bears, especially in light of what happened today in the second half. For Dan Weider and Adam Studzinski, I'm David Haugh, signing off episode 17 and a half, Bears 29-22 losers in Minnesota. We'll talk to you on Tuesday on the Take the North podcast.
Great talk. See you out there.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.